How do we keep teenagers connected to the church after confirmation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Teaching the Faith at Home costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home.
So when I hear adults say, well, I don't like a big church. I like about 200. I want to be able to know everybody. I say, you are so stinking selfish. You care nothing about the next generation. All you care about is you and your five friends. You don't care about your kids. Anybody else's kids are like, what's up? I'm saying, if you don't go to a church large enough, come on, if you don't go to a church large enough where you can have enough middle schoolers and high schoolers to separate them so they can have small groups and grow up the local church, you are a selfish adult. Get over it. Find yourself a big old church where your kids can connect with a bunch of people and grow up and love the local church.
That's a mega church, Pastor Andy Stanley. I think he's pretty clear what he meant. Now, he has recently backed off those statements, saying that even he himself was offended by things he said, although at the beginning of that soundbite, a part we didn't play for you, he assured his listeners there, his congregation and his TV audience, that this is something he'd been thinking about for a long time and was passionate about. What is message is sent to not only the people who attend small churches under 200, but the pastors who shepherd small churches of under 200, from Pastor Andy Stanley. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. We're going to be talking about those recent statements made by prominent megachurch pastor Andy Stanley about small churches. He's written a column for The Federalist recently titled, No, You Don't Need a Mega Church for You to Go to Heaven. Dr. Thomas Winger will join us after that. We'll continue our series on responding to liberal proof texts, today Ephesians, and the liberal idea of church unity. Then Andrew Walther joins us, Vice President of the Knights of Columbus. We're going to talk about a new report on the Islamic State, ISIS, and genocide against Christians in the Middle East. The State Department just can't seem to make up its mind whether or not this is genocide or not, and it really ought to be classified that way. Then we'll do our series, Christ in the Old Testament, today Zechariah chapter 11, The Flock Doomed to Slaughter. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. And for our beloved on-demand listeners, anytime, any place you listen, you can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about recent statements made by prominent megachurch pastor Andy Stanley about small churches and the people who attend them, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist. A recent column by him is titled, You Don't Need a Megachurch for You to Go to Heaven. Hans, welcome back to Issues Etc. What message was Andy Stanley sending to you as the pastor of a small congregation there in Shanahan, Illinois?
Well, I'd imagine whether he intended it or not, the message was essentially that a congregation like mine, a congregation like most other congregations you'd find, most congregations in the United States aren't anywhere near 200 members or so, much more on the smaller end of things. And the message is, I think, was more or less that you're sort of getting in the way, that the way that you basically your ability to preserve the faith of the next generation is too gravely hindered by your size. So you need to. So basically, you need to get out of the way. Your members should come over to these big congregations, and from there, so that way they can have a larger network of support, so that they can separate their middle school and high school youth groups, which is somehow magically going to be the thing that actually preserves children in the faith growing up. So yeah, it was sort of a bit like. I'd imagine it's probably a little bit like what you're seeing in politics now with the Republican nomination, where you kind of have candidates, you know, like John Kasich or and Marco Rubio, I suppose, has kind of gotten to this point, where it seems obvious that they don't have a pathway to the nomination. And so if you're one of the folks who wants to stop Donald Trump, you're saying, look, you guys got to get out of the way. You got to get out of the race. Otherwise, you're going to ruin everything. And so I think there's a little bit of that as well, is that you guys aren't going to survive. You don't have what it takes to preserve the faith in your kids. So you got to get out of the way and let congregations like ours do it.
So let's talk a little bit about this notion. And see, what's really embedded in there, and I don't think many noticed it, is Andy Stanley essentially saying you got to have these kids there so that they can be involved in small groups. It seemed almost a contradiction in terms. It's got to be a big church so that the kids can have small groups and then love church and I think there the linchpin is the small groups. How do those function in these mega churches?
Yeah, well, I think what happens in mega churches is they try to kind of combine the best of both worlds. So there is this kind of earthly attitude that if more people gather to hear a guy talk on Sunday morning or whatever it may be, that therefore his message must be greater, must be a better preacher, must be a more effective this and that than other guys. So you have this great joy of having just thousands and thousands of people all gathering together, which makes everybody feel like they're all right. But then, of course, the drawback of these things is that it's very difficult and virtually impossible to provide any kind of pastoral care and kind of one-on-one teaching and things of this nature to people in a congregation of that size. So they create these small groups within the church, which sort of enables them to kind of try and impact people's lives on a one-on-one level and get them to actually know other people in the congregation and things of this nature. So they kind of try to take the socialization of a smaller congregation with the kind of manpower of a larger congregation. I think that's kind of the goal with those things.
You say that we need to think substance over packaging. How does that apply to the subject here?
Well, yeah, I think this is the thing about his comments. I mean, so I read a lot of stuff that people wrote who were profoundly wounded by this, a lot of stuff that was going around kind of other evangelical circles and things of that nature. Now, part of this might be that I'm not always up to date on who the various megachurch pastors are, so I'd never even heard of Andy Stanley before this. But so I didn't really take it that personally. So it's not as though I felt kind of betrayed by this guy, which I think some people did. But in all honesty, it was a little hard for me to take it that seriously, because even with his apology, where he sort of walked back his comments, but then said, "All right, well, here, let me kind of clarify what I'm saying." He's still basing everything on the presupposition that age segregation, separating kids according to more or less the grades that they're in school, and having them socialize that way is going to keep kids in church. And that's just simply not true. And it's really kind of obviously not true to folks who are really kind of connected with every generation, pan-generational stuff in congregations. The reality is that the more stuff people do with their families in church, the more stuff that is transgenerational, that's the kind of stuff that they recognize I don't grow out of this. But the stuff that they only do for a limited amount of time, that's the stuff they stop doing. And so if everything in the church is age segregated, then eventually they're going to get to the point where they've become convinced, as I say in the article, that in the same way that they've just graduated high school, they've just graduated church. That's really the problem. So you can make the argument that having enough kids for a separate middle school and high school age youth group or small groups or whatever it is, that's somehow going to solve the problem. But it's really just adding more fuel to the fire, because the more age segregation you bring into the church, the more you're going to give yourself a bigger problem down the road.
We're also dealing with several generations that have proven, including mine, the baby boom generation, that have proven themselves altogether happy to kind of freeze frame their spiritual development in adolescence. Right. We gave the baby boomers the youth groups they wanted, pizza parties, ping pong, and volleyball, and very little Jesus. And that's what they want out of church nowadays, too.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and this is, I think, kind of the problem in all of this is that, the more that you teach people to kind of compartmentalize the faith, or to say that it only kind of applies in a certain way at this point in your life, the more likely they are to just feel like they've grown out of it. And I think really when you look at the stuff that people treasure the most in church, it's almost always the stuff that they've done in every generation of their life with their families. So I often joke about this with folks at my congregation, I want to preface this by saying my people are all very orthodox, solid Lutherans. But I've often joked that if I were to say to my congregation, I think I'm just going to write my own creed this week, they'd sort of look at me and they'd go, I don't know about that. I don't like that, but we'll see where this goes. But if I said, I think, at Christmas Eve this year, we're just not going to do the candles and silent night thing at the end of the service. If I did that, then they'd all stab me with pew pencils by the time the service was over because it's not like it's that theologically deep of a thing to do, but the reason people love that silent night thing with the candles that you're all lighting is because that's one of the things that they did in every point of their life as kids and as in when they were in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and then all throughout their life. Every Christmas Eve, that was the thing that they did. And because that was connected to their family life, because they saw that nobody grows out of this, that's the kind of stuff that actually reels them in and keeps them connected and makes them feel like this is always going to be a part of their Christian piety.
When you say this, I want you to explain a little bit. If you treat church the way that many parents treat public schools, then when your kids grow up, they're likely to stop going to church for the same reason they stopped going to high school. What do you mean by that?
Well, so anyone who's a teacher knows that this is one of the problems you run into, in particular, I suppose, if you're in public schools, although I'm sure it happens in private schools as well, which is that people have this attitude of, all right, well, I threw my kid under the bus. It's your job to teach him. As any teacher can tell you, when you have parents who don't read with their kids, when you have parents who don't check their kids' homework, when you have parents who aren't remotely involved in their kids' education, you can have the best teachers in the world, and it's not going to make a difference because those kids aren't going to learn because there's no network of support at home. And in the same way, when people approach church that way, when they basically say, "Well, I'm going to throw them into the church building for one hour a week, if we're lucky." So we'll say, all right, it's the pastor's job to teach him about Jesus, pastor's job to pray with him. It's the Sunday school teacher's job to read the Bible to him. It's everybody else's job but not mine to actually ensure that my kid knows anything. Well, good luck. I mean, that's maybe 1 hour a week, maybe 2 hours a week. For most people who probably go, maybe twice a month, you're looking at 2 hours out of the entire month that your kid is hearing anything about the gospel if you're not teaching them in your own home life, if you're not praying with them, doing devotions with them, reading the Bible to them, things like this. And if they don't have that, then they're going to be just like a kid whose parent, from the time that kid started his first day of kindergarten, said, "It's not my problem to teach him anymore." They're going to be in the same spot as those kids, where it doesn't matter how great the pastor is, doesn't matter how great everyone in the congregation is. If the parents don't care, the kids aren't going to care.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Hans Feeney, spend some time with him on the other side of the break, talking more about the recent statements by megachurch pastor Andy Stanley about small churches and what it is actually tells your kids, sends the message to your kids that these things are important, that the preaching of God's word is important, that the sacraments are important, that going to church and actually sitting in the pew is important for them, not only now, when they're under your authority and under your roof, but for the rest of their lives. Then Dr. Thomas Winger will join us. We're responding to liberal proof text today, Ephesians and the liberal idea of church unity. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, and creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture. And therefore, it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about some recent statements made about small churches by Pastor Andy Stanley, megachurch pastor. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about here what really keeps the kids in church, what will, in fact, teach them what it is church is all about and why it is important for them, not just now, but for the rest of their lives. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is right up that alley. It's called Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is it done? Follows the course of really the ABCs of the Christian faith, according to Luther's Small Catechism. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, absolution, the Lord's Supper. How are all of these things taught in their simple form right there in your own home, around your own kitchen table, parents to children for a lifetime? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Hans, you say that if your kids grow up seeing how important the gospel is to you, both in and outside the sanctuary, the size of your congregation will be irrelevant. What is relevant? What is it that teaches our kids that this is not just an important thing in the life of the Christian, this is the most important thing in the life of the Christian?
Yeah, well, you know, I've known a lot of folks who have grown up, going, you know, most of their lives to church, gone to church very regularly, but really didn't have parents who were terribly involved in it. They never really saw what it meant to be Christians beyond anything other than showing up on Sunday morning. And so I think a lot of times when, you know, for pastors who will see, you know, people who grew up in our congregations, kids grow up and they move away and they join some non-Lutheran church or they just kind of drift away from the church altogether, start living in a way that's not at all consistent with what they were taught. The reality is that we as pastors kind of, we remember what we taught them, you know, in confirmation, but if their parents aren't, you know, reaffirming this and keeping this in their minds and their hearts, they tend to forget. And when their parents oftentimes can't vocalize or articulate any reason for why it is that their kids should stay in the church, they just sort of drift. I think, you know, the reality is that when kids see that it matters to their parents, when they see things like that their daily schedule always includes some sense of remaining grounded in the Word of God, when they see how their parents talk about forgiveness in a Christian way, when they see how their parents don't just kind of turn a blind eye towards sin or just sort of get angry at them when they've sinned, but actually treat it the way that Christ teaches them to treat it, when you have that kind of thing, you have a far greater sense of the presence of the Christian faith in their lives that I think kids pick up on. So when they see that it matters to their parents, when they can see how it actually affects their lives outside of Sunday morning, then there you have a profound witness and great example that parents are setting for their children in showing them that being a Christian is much more than just walking into a specific geographical location at 9 or 10 on a Sunday morning.
So we're really talking about, this is not rocket science, this isn't some new technique of small churches as opposed to the techniques of large churches. This is kind of pretty much what Christians have been doing for millennia.
Yeah, I doubt there is a very strong correlation, I doubt there are really solid numbers you could get if someone were to do research on this that would show you, you know, there's sort of this is the ideal size of a congregation you want, and if you grow up going to a church that's this size, you're more likely to stay, you know, versus this size, you're more likely to leave. I just think the simple reality is, does your church take church seriously? So if you go to church and the pastor's throwing around beach balls during the sermon, you're not going to think that this is really the body and blood of Jesus. If he's giving out communion in a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops, even if he says it's the body and blood of Jesus, you just won't believe him. So if it's not the body and blood of Jesus, then why go? But if your pastor takes church seriously, if your church takes church seriously, if you see that this is something real and meaningful to the people who are there, which indicates to you that you should actually believe the stuff that the Bible says, And when you see that your parents take that stuff seriously as well, then kids tend to do likewise.
Finally, then, Andy Stanley says, or at least he had said until he kind of retracted his statement, what a lot of large church pastors think, and that is the small church is not the future. As you said, using your kind of candidate's presidential race analogy before, there's no path forward to the nomination here. It's really, you're just spinning your wheels, little congregation out there. Yeah, you're doing, you know, good work as far as you can. It really is the sentiment of a lot of large church pastors as well. What would you say to them as a small church pastor?
Yeah, the way I would describe, I think, being a large church pastor with this mindset is it's like owning a hotel for lemmings. And so what I mean by that is, you know, lemmings are these animals. I don't think they actually do this in real life, but the old story was that lemmings will all, for some reason, all run off the edge of a cliff at some point during the year and all sort of commit mass suicide, crashing into the waters below. And I think a lot of times what large congregations are, what evangelical churches are, and even we see this in the LCMS as well, but a lot of times larger non-denominational style or evangelical style LCMS congregations are, is it's like a guy builds a hotel on the edge of the cliff and all of the lemmings stop in there the night before they're all going to commit mass suicide. And the guy convinces himself that he's figured out this magical way of, because he's got far more people, he's got far more lemmings coming into his hotel than anyone else. And everyone's leaving their congregations to go to his hotel, not realizing that that's sort of just their last stop on the way towards death. And I think this is a very common thing we see in large congregations, is that people tend to oftentimes leave congregations. They get infected with this kind of American consumeristic understanding of Christianity. It looks like those big churches have a really big, great product for them. But the reality is that the large churches have a huge problem with massive turnover. And there seems to be a pretty strong trend that people will go to these churches for a couple of years, 3-4 years, and then they just are gone, and they just depart from the faith. They stop going altogether. So the idea that you've somehow magically figured out the best way to serve people and to minister to people, when really all you're doing is just setting up your hotel at the edge of the cliffs right before the lemmings jump off, is, I think it's just sort of an optical illusion. And the reality is that wherever you have the word and sacraments, there Christ is going to preserve his church. Wherever people care and value for these things and value them, Christ is going to preserve his church, and he's going to continue to give his gifts. And he may do it in a congregation of 20 people, and he may do it in a congregation of 2,000. But the idea that somehow little congregations are going to go the way of the dodo bird while the large congregations are here to stay, I think is just silly, and I think it's a lot of In a lot of ways, I think it's the mindset of people who are sort of struggling with the fact that they can't, their size prevents them from actually offering real, genuine pastoral care to people. And so they need to find some other way to kind of justify their existence and to justify the rationale behind a pastor who looks far more like a CEO than a shepherd.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a comical series of videos called Lutheran Satire and a senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled You Don't Need a Megachurch for You to Go to Heaven. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thanks very much for being our guest.
Hey, my pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to continue our series responding to liberal proof text today, Ephesians. There are a couple passages there that liberals use to push their rather strange ideas of church unity. We'll deal with some of them right after this.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington, Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina, Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania, St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota, Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa, Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin, St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.